Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 66, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Ever are my longing eyes toward the Lord, whose watchful care, when my foes their plots devise, keeps my feet from every snare. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 66.
Thank you. the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon. You can find recorded in the Gospel according to John, thereof the 18th chapter. John chapter 18, the first 14 verses. But first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 18, 1 through 14. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake. Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father had given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he, which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may come before thee once again in the afternoon hour of this thy holy day, and in thy holy house of prayer, that here we may present ourselves before thee. Thou knowest that it is our custom, could it please thee, that it may become more than custom. But we can read in thy word that there was a day that the sons of God did present themselves before the Lord, and that Satan came also among them. And so then also in thy house, then that prince of darkness does appear, that he may attempt to put away that word of thee, that work of thee, that it should not thrive, that it should not flourish, that it should not even enter into the ears and into the heart of a man, that that word may be taken away, even as the birds do pick away at the seed that is falling on the wayside. Lord, then there is only for us and our children one hope and one expectation. Everything is against us. It is not only Satan, but it is also our own state and condition. For we have no desires in our hearts, and we cannot change those desires that go out after the flesh. But thou dost say in thy word that through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Lord, thou art able to give us these desires, that we may separate ourselves from time to time in the midst of our week, but also especially upon thy day, from all the thoughts and all that is of the earth and vain. That we also may seek and that we may intermeddle with that wisdom which is able to make us wise unto salvation. O Lord, thou knowest our ignorance. Thou knowest our darkness. Thou knowest our deadness. Thou knowest our slothfulness. Thou knowest our sin. Thou knowest our guilt. Thou knowest our corruption, and so we are born, and so we will die, except that thou wouldst put forth thy mighty hand, that thou wouldst speak a mighty word, that we may be stopped upon our mad career, and that we would be turned to be brought off of that broad way, and that we may enter through that straight gate, and that we may walk upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. O Lord, we look up unto thee, even in this afternoon hour. To whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and thou art able to speak, to send forth thy Spirit even in this hour, to make a difference where there is no difference between us and any other man in this world, conceived and born in sin. O Lord, that thou wouldst come from heaven, thy dwelling place, and that thou wouldst take up thy abode in the heart of each and every one of us. Leave not one behind upon our journey to meet thee. O Lord, we beseech thee for that power that is able to awaken us and to make us wise unto salvation. Oh, that thou may show to us our wretchedness, that there may be room in our hearts for thee, for thy only begotten Son. Oh, that thou would show thyself also unto thy own people. Oh, how great that blessedness that is kept in store for those that fear thee and adore in meek humility. O Lord, that thou wouldst so give thy blessings to be tasted, to be experienced, that that heart of thy children may overflow with thy goodness, that the mouths may go open from time to time, that thy name may be exalted in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation in this world, that thy children may be as a candle upon a candlestick, as a light that is set upon an hill, and that there may go forth in the midst of this world still a light that is shining, and that thou, as the light of the world, may enlighten the minds and in the souls of mankind. Oh, that thou wouldst work with might and power, O Lord. Look upon us as a congregation, as a community. Thou knowest how that we are so taken up in all the things that are in this world. Our hearts are ever lovers thereof. Oh, that thou wouldst take us by heart and by hand, and that thou wouldst lead us in the paths wherein we have no desire by nature. Oh, that thou may give it also by renewal in the heart of thy church. Oh, that they may be given to taste something of thy goodness. Thou knowest how long it was for thy servant Abraham, when he was given a promise by thee, that he had to wait so very, very many years until that promise that there was no hope left in him, that there would be any fulfillment thereof. So that the prayers, even they have ceased to come up before thee, and so that it was such a surprise unto him when thou didst come again and renew that promise in his life. Oh, that thou may look upon thy own children, for thou knowest all their despondency. Oh, that thou wouldst renew it, O Lord, in their life. That thou wouldst come again, wilt thou seek them out, raise them up out of a bed of sloth, and wilt thou give that the fire of thy spirit may burn once again in their breast. That first love which they have left, which thou condemnest them for, that they are not able to bring back again. Oh, that thou wouldst draw them, Lord, as their desire is. Draw me, we will run after thee. 20 years was it between Bethel and Peniel. Oh, then the afflictions, the trials, the persecutions for thy servant Jacob were so very, very many. And thy help that was manifest in all those years. And yet there was so much silence from heaven. Oh, Lord, that thou wouldst come again. Renew it, Lord, in the life of thy people. And wilt thou look upon us in mercy as a congregation, as a community, as a denomination. Oh, that thou wouldst fulfill also the prayers of thy people who have gone up, which have gone up in the years that are gone by, those that have lived so close unto thee, who have besought thee for their children and for their grandchildren and for the coming generations, that thou may yet hear from heaven. O Lord, that thou wouldst remember the words that thou hast spoken unto thy servants. Remember all those that rule and reign over us. O turn us again, Lord, for we are beseeching thee for thy judgments thou hast yet spared in our days. And yet we can see that the judgments cannot be long from coming anymore. For our sins do rise up unto heaven, and man becomes more and more bold before thee. O Lord, that thou wouldst come, and that thou wouldst remember us as nations to turn us again unto thy law and to thy testimonies. Do remember those who hope to be united in holy matrimony in this week. Thou knowest their place. Oh, that thou may supply for them, and that thou may give yet a good day together in the midst of those families. And wilt thou supply in all the needs also there. Remember thou us in the meeting we hope to have in the week that is to come. Oh Lord, then we can set nominations in the midst of the congregation, and there can be a voting, and thou canst point out a man, but it is necessary that thou givest it also in the heart, and that thou givest that ability to receive that office. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou would show unto us a favor, that thou wouldst give unto us a man of thy choosing, and that thou wouldst incline the heart to do the labors in the midst of thy church, which are so very, very many. And then it is a sacrifice also for a family, but Lord, that thou may give what is necessary for it. Wilt thou look upon all those that need thee in special ways, the needs of the mind, the needs of the body? We think of those that do suffer from addictions. Lord, that thou may supply for them when the needs are so very, very great, because the temptations of Satan, they are more than a man is able to fight against himself. When he has us in his snare, then who is able to deliver himself? O Lord, we beseech thee. Thy servant did say that he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Oh, that thou may remember such in thy mercy, and be with those that hope to travel to this area in the week to come, give topics thereupon. Lord, that thou wouldst give to them traveling mercies, and wilt thou give thy blessing upon that which they hope to speak of. Others that hope to travel and do travel from time to time, also in this week again, keep each one in the home and by the way. Wilt thou help us in this hour? Lord, we beseech thee. Come thou from thy dwelling place above and into thy dwelling place here below for a little moment in this hour. Fill thou us with thy Holy Spirit. Give us a little strength to do the labors of our hands. Oh, that we may feel thy presence and thy nearness all together in our midst, and that our hearts may be given to benefit therefrom upon our journey to meet thee, that it truly may be good to be in the house of the Lord this day. Do forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 304, stanzas 1 through 4 and 6. Oh, give the Lord wholehearted praise. To him thanksgiving I will bring, and with all his people I will raise my voice and of his glory sing. The consistory wishes to make the following announcements. A male members' meeting is scheduled for this Wednesday, February 28th at 8 o'clock p.m. The following nominations for deacon have been set by the consistory: Mr. Corne Vinny and Mr. Ben Van Hagenbos. This is the second wedding announcement of Leonard Brunn and Gentina Oscom on Friday, March the 2nd at 11 o'clock a.m. in the Picture Butte Church. Lawful objections must be brought to the to the attention of the consistory by February 27th. The last collection today is for the Canadian Lord's Day Association, 304, 1 through 4 and 6. Thank you. beloved congregation, the Apostle Paul said unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. That is not a strange language for the true church of God. One says that I may be even but a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Another says, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. A third says that I may touch even but the hem of his garment. A fourth says, the dogs, they eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. That is the humility that does attend the saving knowledge of sin when it is experienced in the heart of a man. It is the feeling sense of his unworthiness. As Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all the blessings of the Lord. And yet the salvation of this people is not doubtful. It is sure. It is resting upon a rock. It is standing on a solid foundation that can never be removed. And with the Lord's help, we wish to say a few words of this in this afternoon hour out of our text, which you can find in this portion of John 18 in the verses 8 and 9. John 18, verses 8 and 9. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. So far the words of our text. Christ delivers his church from the hand of the enemy. First, an irresistible command. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. An irresistible command. Second, a blessed fulfillment, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. A blessed fulfillment. Thus Christ delivers his church from the hand of the enemy. First, an irresistible command, and second, a blessed fulfillment. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come to upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? So we see the Lord Jesus. He is standing with his disciples. Over against him, we see a host. We see soldiers. They have their swords, they have their spears, their weapons, and their lanterns in their hand. They are sent, we can read, by the Pharisees, by the scribes. This all took his disciples by a great surprise. All things have happened so very, very quickly and so very suddenly. But there is nothing that takes the Lord Jesus by surprise. Thus we see the divine nature shining through his human nature, And when he says to his disciples, "Rise, let us be going, behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." And indeed, there he stands, also with them, Judas. A few hours before, sitting with them at the table of the Lord. And now, standing over against him with the enemy of what is a man capable. Whom seek ye? That is not a question that we read any anxiety in. It is not a question that is being asked by someone who is fearful, and not a question being asked by someone who is ready to run away, but it is a question that is being asked by, we would call, a commander in chief, one who is in complete control. Indeed, it is a question being asked by the king himself. And it is a warning. It is a warning unto the enemy which has come for the Lord Jesus, that they may consider who it is that they are apprehending, because it is a dreadful thing to be standing over against God and against his Son. Whom seek ye? Thus he gives to them a moment to consider in his long suffering who that he is, who that they are seeking, and that reason that they have come for him. Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Thus Satan is loading reproach upon Christ and also upon his disciples. The Pharisees themselves, they love to call the Lord Jesus by this name, Jesus of Nazareth, that they may teach that name also unto the multitude, and that the multitude may despise him, and that they may have supposed grounds wherein that they may persecute the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, he receives this name. He does not object to this name, but he is ready to receive the lowest of names that men would wish to call him in this world. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. Thus he makes his own willingness to suffer very, very evident. And not only so, but he identifies himself to the enemy. It was not necessary, children, that the Lord, that Judas would kiss the Lord Jesus. He does so, but it is not necessary. Why not? Because the Lord Jesus says to the enemy himself, I am he. Paul, he writes, Christ loved his church and gave himself for his church. This giving of himself is evident here. It is evident in his passivity, in his passive obedience, that he is not actively running from his persecutors, but that he is actively going toward his persecutors. Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. Paul says even more. He says, who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that not a wonder? Who of us is able to say such a thing? Dare we say such words? And if we do, upon what grounds can we say that he loved me and he gave himself for me? When it is written in the Word of God, then Paul had good grounds to be able to make such a testimony. Is that not now the testimony that ought to be sought by the people of the Lord? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. We read previously that Satan entered into Judas. Thus, this multitude that is standing with Judas, they are being led by a man in whom Satan is dwelling. He is going in the forefront. Thus, Christ, when he identifies himself, then he is giving himself into the hands of those in whom Satan dwelt. And thus Christ shows that he is not ready to run away, but that he is going forth to fight against the enemy of himself, of his father, and of his people. We read of David, children, that by faith, David, he did not run away from Goliath, but he went toward Goliath. He ran, we read, to meet him. And so we now read also of the Lord Jesus, that he is not running away from Satan, but he is running to meet him, that he may do unto him this giant. Is he a giant also to you? That you are standing fearful of him. No man with all Israel had the courage to fight against Goliath. No man of all God's children would have the courage to fight against Satan. No strength to overcome him. But Christ, he goes toward him. I am he. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Thus we have the proof of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Much proof of his humanity, and by times also that proof of his divinity. The enemy had no power when the Lord Jesus would just speak one word. One word. And that enemy is without power. One word when he spoke, as in his human nature, when he was in the state of his humiliation, it was the voice of the Lamb of God, which would lay the enemies upon the ground. What a power is in the Word of Christ. And if there is such power in the voice of the Lamb, what shall now be the power in the voice when he comes as a judge? And when he is sitting upon his throne, then there shall be no man that is able to stand before him. Thus, they are words that ought to make us to fear, but they are also words that ought to make us to hope. Why? Because we can read in the Word of God that that Word of Christ is a two-edged sword. Thus, there is not only power to destroy, but there is also power to deliver. And with this word, then he is not only destroying the enemy, but with that same word, he is taking care of his church. Thus, with one word, we may be condemned by him, but with one word, we also may be made alive. With one word, Satan may be routed. With one word, death may be put away. With one word, our soul that may receive salvation. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Who can fathom the boldness of the natural man when they have experienced the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? That man dares to answer Christ exactly the same as he did before. Thus, the most powerful judgments upon men do not break his heart, but they only make him more bold, they make him more daring, they make him more impudent. True conversion, that is not by judgments, that is by the mercy of the Lord. True conversion, that is worked, a special work of the Spirit of the Lord. Even Judas, he stands here unfazed. Satan, he has taken up his abode in his heart, his conscience that is seared as with a hot iron, and his heart that is as hard as the nether millstone. I have told you that I am he. Second time. The Lord repeats it, that he identifies himself. The Lord Jesus has felt something while he was in his human nature. With these words, when he has spoken and that power was evident over his enemies, then the Lord Jesus has also felt something of his own divine power. Thus, his human nature that has felt in this moment that had he desired it, then he could easily have escaped from the hands of his enemies. And yet, the second time, the Lord Jesus says to his enemies, I am he. From where did the Lord Jesus come? He just came from the Garden of Gethsemane. There in that garden, then we can read of the suffering of his soul. There his sweat has become, we can read, as great drops of blood. There we read the Lord Jesus was strengthened. That his Father, as his Father had promised that he would do for him in that work, faithful to that promise, that the Father has sent his angel, and that angel has strengthened the Lord Jesus in that human nature, which was necessary. It was a human nature as our human nature. And he was strengthened in that human nature that he may go forward. Thus the salvation of the church of God that has laid upon the heart of Christ, and he was given in his human nature to look to the end of that suffering, that he may go forward in it. Then there is no question in this moment anymore that his human nature, which had its own human will, he had a divine will and also a human will, that human will that has trembled in a very natural way in that garden, we read, my Father, if it were possible that this cup might pass from me, the human nature trembling, shivering for what he knew in his divine nature was before him. But that human will, in one consent with that divine will, Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so we read here also that human will that was in complete accordance with that divine will of Christ. I told you that I am He. Therefore, if therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. We said it is an irresistible command. It is the command of a king. There is not a single enemy that is able to touch the disciples of Christ. Christ made them feel this. He laid them flat on their backs. Satan, howsoever strong he may be, howsoever much power and freedom the Lord may give to him in this world, was not enabled to make that enemy stand before Christ. Because he says of his church, that whosoever toucheth you does touch the apple of mine eye. Christ gave himself for his church. Therefore, that enemy was able to take him, and therefore alone. And if that enemy has taken him when he has given himself, then Christ says there is no taking my church. It is either the one or it is the other. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That is the work of substitution that is declared by Christ himself. And as king of his church, Christ now dismisses his church from the power of the enemy, so that there is no power over them. So that he says, I am going in their place. I will suffer for them. Thus, through the midst of all his sufferings, Christ had that church laying at his heart. He knew for whom he suffered. And he knew all their sin and all their shortcomings as he suffered. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Thus the passion of Christ, that is for what? That is for the setting free of his church. The officers sought Christ. Why? Because the Pharisees sought Christ. And therefore also Judas sought Christ. But especially all of them because Satan sought Christ. The Lord had said to Satan, thou shalt bruise his heel. Satan attempts to bruise his head. But Satan does not realize that in attempting to bruise the head of Christ, that his own head is being bruised. And as we heard in this morning, in the way of his providence, all of this is under the governing hand of God himself, that he is directing even the sin of Satan, of the Pharisees, of the Jews, of the scribes, of Judas. He is directing the sin of Pilate, of Caiaphas, of Herod. All of this he is directing unto one end. And why? That is because the Father himself has sought Christ. Because the Father himself has asked already in eternity, who will go for us? And so he has sought out this man in order that he may go forth to conquer that enemy. And therefore there is also a people that will seek him. They will seek him when they may perceive something, when the Lord will open to them something in his holy word, and when he will show to that people the freedom that Christ is purchasing for his church if they would have to serve justice themselves, then it would be only to their condemnation. That is eventually the lesson that the Spirit of the Lord is instructing that church in. It is not the first lesson of the Spirit of the Lord, but it is what the Lord is eventually instructing his people in. That he may cut off that people. That he may cut them off from their own work. God's people. They must learn to be saved with their hands down. There is nothing. Absolutely nothing that is able to contribute from that people. What do we read? We read the disciples, they forsook him and fled. Indeed, their spirit was willing, but their flesh was weak. Indeed, their confession was good. Their desire was good. And we will go with thee into suffering, we will go with thee even into death. But when the moment comes, then they have to experience in their life that they are not able to go with him. Then they have to experience in their life that they need one to go for them. If there was one jot, if there was one tittle that was necessary from the side of God's church to contribute, then it would be absolutely impossible. But not only so did those disciples forsake him and flee, but the Lord Jesus also dismisses them. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Christ did not expect any help from his disciples. He knew who they were. He knew they had no ability in themselves. He came for this purpose. This was something his disciples, they would not be able to do. He has come to do what they could not do. He has come to be for them not a helping Savior, but he has come to be for them a full Savior, a complete Savior. And thus, when it comes to this work, that is to the meriting of the salvation of his people, Christ, before that he goes, he immediately dismisses his church, that you may now go your way. Because this is now something that I have to do for you. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Oh, what more blessed words can we find written in the Holy Scriptures? Because here is declared the complete and the final deliverance of the church of God. Oh, let those who would work soon work themselves to death, that there may be place for this complete deliverance, and that they may bask in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to be included in him, that is to be untouchable. If therefore ye seek me, O enemy, if therefore ye seek me, O justice, if therefore ye seek me, O curse, if therefore ye seek me, O wrath of God, if therefore ye seek me, then let these go their way. And to be once included, that is to be never excluded, that we hope to see in our second thought after we sing from Psalter 420, the third stanza. Sing praise, thou chosen Israel, who with the folds of sheep dost dwell. Thou art God's joy and treasure. And what follows in the third stanza of Psalter 420. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. What is that saying that needed to be fulfilled? It is the saying of Christ himself that we read here in this previous chapter in John 17, that Christ in the high priestly prayer speaks unto his own Father, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Thus we read here, them which thou gavest me. It is a people that are given unto Christ by his Father. They were not Christ first, but they first belonged unto the Father. The Father, he has loved them. Since when? We read in God's word that he has loved them with an everlasting love. Therefore, he has also elected that people. Since when? That is also from that never begun eternity. But we read here that they are given. They are given unto Christ, thus given to him by his Father. That is, as an inheritance, as a reward. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. They are entrusted to him. They are given to him as a commitment. They are given to him as sheep to a shepherd, that he may redeem them, that he may care for them, that he may have them for safekeeping. He is given to them as, they are given to him as their mediator, that he may redeem them, that he may stand in the breach, that he may bring them again unto his Father. Thus, as children of the Father, that they may be brought back to him by the Son. Christ will not disappoint his Father. When his Father has committed and trusted his children unto him. Therefore, he says, those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. Moses said to Pharaoh, even of the cattle of Israel, that there shall not an hoof be left behind. Not the smallest of the animals. Doth God take care for oxen, Paul writes, or set he it all together for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written. Of his church, Christ says, the hairs of your head, they are numbered. By whom? They are numbered by my Father. And when they are given unto Christ, then great is the faithfulness of Christ to take care of the hairs of the heads of his people, that not one of them shall be lost without the will of his Father. That is the word of God. What does that mean? It means that there is no apostasy of the saints. Because once under the care of Christ is to be forever kept by him. As he says, not one of them is lost. That is a salvation that cannot be merited by that people. It is a salvation that cannot be upheld by that people. It cannot be maintained by that people. And it also cannot be lost by that people. Why not? It is merited by Christ. It is upheld by Christ. It is maintained by Christ. And not one of them is lost. Thus, the true church, they are resting on a firm foundation. on a sure foundation. The church of God is resting on a rock. What is it? Is that the work of man? Is it the will of man? Is it the faithfulness of God's people? It is none of it. It is a people who are rejoicing in a one-sided work. That is their only hope. That is their only expectation. Christ, He gives this expectation to His church when He is cutting off all the expectation in themselves and revealing unto them the love of God in Himself. And there are no surprises to Him. Peter's sin was foretold by Him before Peter even committed it. Thus, there is no change in the covenant because of the sin of Peter. Why? Because Christ, He says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. That is the foundation. That is the certainty. That is the rock. Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. O congregation, there is one thing needful in our life. And what is that? We need to be united. We need to be united by a true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Short of Him, all is short for eternity. But in Him, and cleaving to Him by the smallest faith of God's children, not a hoof shall be left behind. In Him is the salvation of the church. Here is the end. Here is the purpose of all true conviction of sin. To drive out every false hope, every false expectation unto this solid rock. The greatest, the heaviest of convictions that do not lead to Him are only foretastes of an eternal condemnation, as it was with Judas. But the lightest of convictions that bring a man truly to despair of himself and make room for this mediator, they will save from sin and its consequences. When the Spirit of the Lord is revealing something of this passion of Christ, of the cross of Christ, unto His people in their wretchedness, then what is taking place in their heart? Ask God's people. Then their soul rejoices. You say rejoices at the sufferings of Christ. Yes. What makes them rejoice? Faith. But what does the Bible say? That the natural man sees no beauty in him, no form in him, no comeliness in him, and is suffering beautiful for the natural man? Is suffering that which makes the natural man to rejoice in himself or even in another man? Thus the question, did we ever see beauty? Did we ever see form? Did we ever see comeliness in the cross of Christ? Because if the Lord has revealed a small part of this comeliness to our eyes, then we have seen something of the suitability of Him for our own case. That our soul may rejoice, that our heart may leap for joy at such a sight. That is saving faith, which is in the heart of His afflicted and poor people, that gives them to trust in that name of the Lord, even though that faith that is so small, even though that faith may be so short-lived. But it is working desires that they may see more of Him, that more of Him may be opened up in that Word, that they may be able to rest in Him, that they may be able to trust in Him. Then they receive desires also to be established in that faith. What did the disciples say? They said, Lord, increase our faith. That is the desire of that true church. Often that people fear to go lost yet. What did Peter say? He walked on the water to Jesus. How? By faith. But then he saw the waves. And what did he say? Lord, save me. I perish. There is a people. They have a true beginning. They cannot go lost. The Lord Jesus, He says to Peter, wherefore didst thou doubt? That was his child, but to know it for himself. And for that people to know it for themselves, that is another matter. Is that not a matter, people of the Lord, to strive for? Though you may receive a certain comfort along the way, even as we can read here in this text, if therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. O congregation, what think ye of Christ? See now how he has stood, how he has stood in the place of his people. It was the one or it was the other. And when there is no Jesus to go for us, then it will be us that will be taken when our day is come, and our day is coming. Oh, have we also for our soul that comfort, that we may have one to stand in our breach, that we may have one to go before us, that we may be dismissed from the wrath, that we may be dismissed from that condemnation that is due unto us. O congregation, what think we of him? If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Or have we now no need for such a mediator? Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, that we may receive such a need. For by nature there is none. We need it to be opened in our heart. We need to see that we also must stand in thy judgment. We need ourselves to see our own inability, our lost state, our wretchedness, that we may cry out also for thee. O Lord, we beseech thee, open thou our eyes, both young and old, for this life that is full of circumstances, and we know not our life for one moment. Do keep us in the rest of this day, in the week that is to come, and all the labors of our hands in the home and by the way. Wilt thou give meditation upon thy holy word? Give us to be also in our secret chambers before thee. Give us not to let thee go except that thou wouldst bless us also. feed thy people, forgive our sins. Wilt thou be with us in our meeting, in the consistory meeting, in the male members meeting? Wilt thou give us a good meeting together? Show thyself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 353 all the stanzas. Now Israel may say, and that in truth, if that the Lord had not our right maintained, if that the Lord had not with us remained, when cruel men against us rose to strive, we surely have been swallowed up alive. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 353. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.